For decades, women battered the walls of the male fortress of television journalism. After fierce struggles, three women, Diane Sawyer, Katie Couric, and Christiane Amanpour, broke into the newsroom's once impenetrable boys' club. Drawing on exclusive interviews with their colleagues and intimates from childhood on, the book The News Sorority by Sheila Weller crafts a narrative that reveals the hard struggles and inner strengths that shaped these women and powered their success. Sheila Weller is the author of the books Girls Like Us and Dancing at Ciro's, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Sheila Weller to this week's book show. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. It's great to be here.
What led you to journalism in particular?
Oh, my God. I kind of fell into it. My mother was a writer, and I just really fell into it. I couldn't be a jazz singer, so what was I going to do, right?
So you are interested in this topic, and you take on these three women, Diane Sawyer, Katie Couric, and Christiane Amanpour. So I'll ask the obvious question, which is, why these three women?
After I decided that after my last book that I would do a book on, I was interested in looking at how women changed the idea of what is news, what constitutes news. That was the thesis going forward, because in my years as a writer and a journalist, I've seen that change and open up from what it used to be in the strict Ed Murrow days, you know, when women weren't anywhere to be seen, to a period of time that consisted of lots of lifestyle changes and social issues becoming part of news. When I decided that that was going to be the thesis of the book, those women kind of just presented themselves to me as obvious icons, successful, iconic women that we trust, that we've seen every day for decades in a variety of forums. So that was kind of like the no-brainer. What was interesting was that my idea of the book changed as I interviewed people. It was no longer how women changed the news, but the story of these amazing women who never had a functionally unconfident day in their lives and wouldn't say no, wouldn't accept the no.
It seems as though any professional woman journalist, if we could name Barbara Walters, Wesley Stahl,
right.
Many other women to that list, that there's something different about these three then.
Mm-hmm. Well, Barbara is definitely a force in the book. She opened the door for all of them. She had just put out her memoir in 2008. She was a little bit older, and she was the pathbreaker, and she's known for that. Leslie Stahl, Connie Chung, there were some terrific and are some terrific women, and they're in the book as well. So it took a village, and it is a village, and I definitely wanted to include the women of my three women's generations, because they're slightly different ages, and the women before who you know were part of this whole phenomenon.
When you talk about this whole phenomenon, this was inevitable. Women mm-hmm. were going to come in and really make a difference in this profession.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it's amazing how long it took. And I mean, you know, the media is always considered so liberal. It's liberal. And it's true. Many people in news, TV news, any kind of news, went to, you know, Ivy League colleges and would probably be considered liberal. But there was as much sexism in this field, and there's certainly as much sexism in the audience for 6:30 news as one would expect from, you know, from fields that are more, you know, blue collar or something. So it was interesting how pervasive the sexism was.
Let us talk about the women individually, mm-hmm. and let us start with Diane Sawyer, who is the oldest of the mm-hmm. three and has had an amazing career that really has seen many, many different facets.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you know, she famously was very loyal to Richard Nixon, both working as an assistant press secretary during Watergate and then going to San Clemente with him to write his memoirs, came to the CBS DC Bureau, where everybody had their pitchforks out for her, including Leslie Stahl and Dan Rather. How on earth could they hire a Nixon loyalist? And by dint of her hard work, won them all, and her teammanship won them over, and never stopped since then. She is a fascinating, complex woman, charming as can be, knows all about how to purvey her, you know, her Southern charm, but is an absolute workaholic. And I say that in an admiring sense. Will wake up in the night, in the middle of the night, email or before that telephone assistance about news. You know, has slept on baggage carts, has hitched rides on cargo planes, has gotten off at the helicopter in Afghanistan with the crystal to take four different dangerous flights to the Haiti earthquake. She really doesn't stop, despite her aura of glamour and urbanity and sophistication and privilege. She's an incredible worker.
Glamour is a part of it. I want to pause on that for a moment, because you talk about the glamour nature of mm-hmm. these three women. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all have different persona, and one of the reasons that made them work on TV, come through the screen as the term is that you can get a sense of who they are, and yet there's something withheld in each of them, something mysterious in each of them. But I'd say that, you know, they definitely have what we call now branded personalities or persona. Diane, the kind of restrained, genteel, but witty woman who's slightly Southern. My research led me to believe that she kind of did an arc in her life and career of going from the, I remember, Methodist Kentucky girl to the urbane woman, back to the kind of earnest Kentucky girl. But she's got that aura of gentility and sophistication. Katie was always everybody's girl next door, and that hurt her when she went to the 6:30 news at CBS. And she's used it as well, because she gets underestimated so often that she's able to really pull out amazing interviews with especially patronizing men like the first George Bush, etc., who thought she was just this cute little firecracker of a girl, and then she really zings them. She's been wounded a lot. She's an extraordinary cancer activist, extraordinary. And I think she keeps that part of herself a little bit to herself, because it protects her when she does get zinged. And I saw it personally when the book was advance released over the summer. I saw how people love to hate Katie. Christiane Amanpour, fearless, principled, a conflict zone reporter, but had a very interesting childhood and early life. With Eliza Minnelli's graphic, Farrah Fawcett hair, you wouldn't have picked her out of a lineup when she was 14 years old to be the person she turned into. Life circumstances and, you know, a personality, a character developing through various turns of events led her to her destiny.
When you look at the baseline of skills as a journalist, mm-hmm. all three are incredible journalists who mm-hmm. have cut their teeth in different ways, mm-hmm. but have all really earned their stripes in the field doing very, very hard reporting, perhaps with the exception of Katie Couric, but through the Today Show, still mm-hmm. really a baptism by fire.
She interviewed many more big deal people than we think of. We think of her flying through Rockefeller Center as Tinkerbell and doing those goofy things. But she interviewed Ahmadinejad a couple of times, Pat Buchanan, David Duke, Yasser Arafat. I mean, you know, a lot of them. First of all, she was a Pentagon correspondent. But even at the Today Show, she had hard news interviews. People don't realize this, but when she came in 1991 and co-hosted with the very straightforwardly male chauvinist Brian Gumbel, she said, "Hey, listen, you know, in so many words, I'm doing an equal number of the hard news stories as you do. Don't think I'm just going to do the soft news stuff." Jane Pauley hadn't done that. She was just grateful. You know, Katie came in and did half of the hard news stories. We forget that now because she was so charming and funny and snarky and witty. But she did amazing stuff. And sometimes it's the human interest interviews that are the most compelling. She did an amazing job with two of the Columbine families, with Matthew Shepard's family and so forth.
Was it a mistake, and of course hindsight is 2020, mm-hmm. was it a mistake for her to leave the Today Show?
Good question. She was getting tired of it. I mean, she was doing it for 15 years. 9/11 affected her. Her husband's death and her sister's death affected her. She was looking for something new, and Les Moonves came and wooed her big time, and she's a risk taker. She's got sharp elbows. She doesn't mind doing something out of her comfort zone. She wanted to, and he wanted to, refresh the 6:30 news. They wanted to youthify it. She wanted to interview Jon Stewart and Nora Ephron on the 6:30 news. And CBS's 6:30 news is the most conservative male, oldest middle American, not that there's anything wrong with that, of any of the three networks. So they tried something that was hard to do. And it didn't work out. She went back and did a straight newscast, which did not use her personality. Ratings plummeted. People were happy to pile on her. The CBS Lifetimers there didn't like her for lots of reasons, including her salary, including some sexism, including the fact that she was not a signed, sealed, and delivered fantastically, totally hard news person. And she was about to go under, and then she pulled it out with Sarah Palin. And that's kind of what Katie does. When you want to count her out, she comes back.
Sheila Weller is the author of The News Sorority, Diane Sawyer, Katie Couric, Christiane Amanpour, and The Ongoing Imperfect Complicated Triumph of Women in TV News. Was it easier then, and I use that word very loosely, was it easier then for Diane Sawyer when she took over the evening news on ABC because Katie had already been through it, and number one, and number two, she had been around longer in that anchor role, having come from a little bit of a harder edge with GMA?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, first of all, when she went from CBS, you know, mostly hard news to GMA, ABC said, what are we doing putting right. this urbane woman who didn't have a baby in there? So she had to learn to be a GMA person. Absolutely easier for Diane for lots of reasons. As somebody noted, she's Southern. She was older. She had a hard news background. She's more circumspect. They're very, very different personalities, which is fascinating. Katie's lives out loud, likes to kind of, you know, brag about herself a little bit. Diane is very indirect, very diplomatic. She did not want her salary mentioned. They didn't do a big, whoa, 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 Diane Sawyer is coming. They were very low-key. So she learned from Katie's mistakes, and her personality was different. Her background was different. So it was a much easier entry.
It was a very breezy style when she was hosting the news.
Diane?
Yes.
Well, what's interesting is people, including Andrew Hayward, who was the head of the president of CBS News, said, if you put Diane Sawyer and Katie Couric together as they did the evening news and remembered who they were at the morning news, you would get them mixed up. Diane became very empathic doing the evening news. Again, there was the Kentucky Bible reading girl came out in her. She developed a very empathic personality during doing GMA. It loosened her up. I called her, she'd become America's aunt the way Cronkite had become America's uncle. Very, very empathic. Mm. And some people thought she was too empathic, that it was almost cloying. Katie, on the other hand, once she got the news, hey, you can't experiment, she was pretty crisp and to the point. So by the time they were doing their rivaling 6:30 shows, Katie was much more Diane-like, early Diane-like, and Diane could be said to be more early Katie-like.
At what point did she want to leave? Was it starting to get to her?
Diane?
Yes.
Well, I had been hearing that she was going to be replaced almost 2 years ago. I had that built into the book before it happened, when it happened when the book was just about to come out. David Muir was getting better ratings than she when he substituted for her. Mm. She had done a really good job. It was hard to knock off Brian Williams. But ironically, when he would substitute for her, when you had a male substituting for Diane Sawyer, that's when the ratings got better. So how much of it was her choice and how much of it was management's choice? Question mark. They said at CBS when Katie was holding on to this, and the ratings were not good even after Sarah Palin, they said openly, you could put any white man in a chair and get better ratings. And I think that's the case, unfortunately, for the 6:30 on all three networks.
Is it an unfair rap that if you Google Diane Sawyer news anchor, mm-hmm. you will see many clips of her slurring her speech mm-hmm. and saying that she was drunk on the air?
I think that's unfair, yeah. There are not too many things I left out of the book because I felt it would be patronizing to leave out some negative things. And I got, criticized for that by some people. And I had to rethink it a little bit. And I put the negative things that people said in and the media said in to A, show that there was a double standard, and B, because in fact, in any corporate situation, in any communications high-powered situation, people, there's office politics. But I think it was unfair that that comes up when you mentioned Diane. I left it out of the book.
Christiane Amanpour is, it seems to be, at least for me, mm-hmm. for a news junkie, if somebody, when I want to find out what's happening in a story, I want to hear her tell me, because mm-hmm. it seems like she has a firm grasp of it. She knows where mm-hmm. the bodies are buried, right, literally and figuratively, and will tell you what is going on, which made CNN a very interesting home right. for her. And she's been all over the landscape mm-hmm. and at different places, from ABC to CBS and then back to CNN. Seems like she found a home there.
Yeah. She was early at CNN. So was Katie, but Katie left. She loves CNN. That's why this is, to me, it's tragic that they have disbanded her New York staffing.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew there were going to be huge cuts at CNN. She was part of the beginning of CNN in Atlanta. She pushed her way to New York, got to Frankfurt, Gulf War started, and then she went to Bosnia, and that minted her as a major, major conflict zone reporter, totally committed. And then she did stories and names of countries that most Americans couldn't even name before she was there. So CNN was definitely her home. Yes, she did 60 Minutes. She had a 60 Minutes contract
right.
at CBS, and then went to ABC to do This Week. That wasn't a good fit. But CNN really has been her home, and she helped to make it. I mean, it was it was called Chicken Noodle News. And then the Gulf War made it very different. And then she became the face of CNN, reporting from these conflict zones. Very straight shooter.
From watching her, it seems that she is at her greatest comfort level when she is reporting mm-hmm. on a world crisis, right. on an international news event.
Absolutely. And she has said, I'm a field reporter, when she scored the great get with interviewing Mubarak when he was being chased out of office during the beginning of the Arab Spring. She said, yeah, I'm a field reporter. And she was still at ABC. She was still holding on to the This Week thing then. But she is. She's great in the field. I don't know how much more she wants to go into the field. It is now hugely dangerous for any journalist, as we know, with ISIL or ISIS. People are now getting beheaded. She risked, and the whole team in Bosnia risked a tremendous amount, and she risked in other places as well. But she tells it like it is. She bawled out President Clinton over Bosnia. She is passionate and idealistic. When you put her in an anchor situation on international news, she's good. She's really good. No one's better, because she knows she knows international news. When you put her in ABC This Week, which was largely national politics, and you had to do things like, you know, the people that saw Gabriel Giffords get shot, you know, the nice people standing around, she doesn't do that as well. Diane and Katie do that much better.
So Diane Sawyer has retired from the evening news. Christiane Amanpour, still with CNN, mm-hmm. but a rather gutted operation. Mm-hmm. Katie Couric's talk show canceled, mm-hmm. now a correspondent for Yahoo.
Right.
The three evening news shows are all anchored by right. white men. And it leaves me, as we wrap up our conversation, where is the triumph then for women
right.
in television?
Well,
news?
That's why I put all those adjectives in. Well, the triumph is we had these women for decades. And we had these women in our, you know, giving us the news, relying on them during what I call the golden age of at-home, big-screen appointment TV news. We would turn on the morning news during the OJ case, and I reported on that. And you turned it on. You wanted to hear what happened on, you know, what Today Show was saying. You turned on the 6:30 news. You don't do that anymore. You get it through TMZ. Gave us the Ray Rice story. Twitter gave us Ferguson, Missouri. So the 6:30 news, even though it's three white men, it doesn't mean as much. So the triumph was we had these women for all these decades, and I don't think we will forget them. Two of them got us through 9/11. Christiane exposed us to injustice around the globe. They gave us a tremendous swath of our news, nationally and internationally. So that's a triumph.
Do they make them like they used to, a fair question to ask you? When you look at the morning news programs now, where two of these three women started in many cases, or at mm-hmm. least certainly carved out a large part of their career, that many of the names that we currently have seem rather disposable.
Yeah. I think, again, I mean, I don't usually watch it anymore. I used to. I think they are. I mean, Matt Lauer keeps going. Robin Roberts is amazing.
Yeah.
I think we've passed that moment. You know, again, I think at-home appointment TV news, big screen TV news, whether it's morning, evening, or even to some extent special investigatives, you know, the special, you know, interviews, whether it's Mel Gibson or a head of state, I think that's over. I mean, I think that's over or getting over. We're getting our news through devices at all hours of the day. So the personalities are less, you know, larger than life.
But again, there doesn't seem to be anyone, I would argue male or female, mm-hmm. but it's, considering we're talking about a sorority, mm-hmm. that anyone who could now enter those yeah. ranks.
We've talked about that with my publisher. We sat around and talked about it. I think that's true. I was going to write an op-ed on it, but I wrote an op-ed on something else instead. I think that's true. I mean, there are niche favorites that a lot of people love. Rachel Maddow. I guess a lot of people on the other side like Megyn Kelly, you know.
Right.
I think Robin Roberts is amazing for what she's gone through. I've interviewed her. But I think that's true. I think these were, you know, larger than life women during a span of years where the forums were very, very important, and they did what they did really, really well. And it's harder than it looks to do, even especially morning.
The three women that you profile in the book, what's the reaction when you say you want to talk to them?
Well, Katie immediately, I was told no, that Katie wouldn't do it. And then, you know, you start the whole courtship of trying to get people who are close to her to talk. That's the most important thing. I waited a little bit to ask if I could watch the run-up to World News and then maybe get an interview with Diane, and I was told no. And by the way, I'd met Katie and Diane both before, and I'd been on their shows.
Right.
So, but that doesn't count. Christiane, although I proposed the book with Christiane in it, and that was always going to be the case, it took her a while to land on this project. When she did, I was a year and a half in, and she gave me so many people to talk to, including two of her three sisters, that A, I didn't want to push it, and B, I didn't want to make it unequal. But the truth is, in a funny way, I was relieved when I got the no's, because all kinds of complicated things happen when you get, you know, this huge, you know, thing that the publicists think is this fantastic thing they're giving you, which is some kind of attenuated access to the person. They want to know who else you talk to. They want to know the tone of the book. They, you know, it's not that they really want quid pro quos, but you feel it. Also, these are three of the best interviewers in the world. I didn't think, and from reading all the other things they, you know, interviews they'd given, I didn't think I could get anything fantastically different than what was already done. So I kind of kept my head down and did my work talking to all these other people that could give me a very full picture of their lives and their work.
Sheila Weller's new book is The News Sorority, Diane Sawyer, Katie Couric, Christiane Amanpour, and the Ongoing Imperfect Complicated Triumph of Women in TV News. It is published by Penguin Press. Sheila Weller, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. I'm a big fan of your show.
Thank you. A great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.